Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to our third quarter report today. It will be Maite Rahmat today to give you an overview over the last 9 months.
Thank you, Monika, and also good morning from my side. A warm welcome on this cold but nevertheless sunny day. And first of all, I should convey to you the best regards of Bernhard Ehmer, our CEO, who would be normally here, but as you can imagine, he's right now on his way to Washington due to the fact that we are in discussions with an agency of the U.S. government related to the takeover efforts CREAT has started now, as you can see here already in May. The takeover procedure went very well in the beginning, you know, very fast. Almost 90% of all ordinary shareholders tendered their shares. 1%, more than 1% of the preference shares, shareholder decided to sell their shares to CREAT if the takeover would take place. And of course, the takeover was subject to some regulatory clearances, which CREAT would need to make this takeover effective. And all that was the timetable, should be done at the latest at the end of January. And looking at the different outstanding closing conditions, we achieved very fast the minimum threshold of 75% of the ordinary shares, which had been tendered. In the end, it had been almost 90%. We also received very fast the foreign investment control approval from the German government. So within 8 days, the German government said that they would have nothing against the takeover by CREAT of Biotest AG. We also got the approval of the U.S. antitrust authority as well as of the Turkish antitrust authority, not because we had to file it in Turkey, not because we have such a huge sales and turnover in Turkey, but the thresholds to file an application are very low, and therefore we had to file for the approval of the Turkish antitrust authority, and we got this approval also in mid of August. So the only outstanding approval which is still missing is the missing of the U.S. government, and here a committee on foreign investment in the United States is responsible to check if there are any safety concerns with regard to the United States by this considered takeover of Biotest AG by the Chinese investors. The CFIUS, this the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, is a part of the Treasury Department, but it's not only the responsibility of the Treasury Department, it's also a co-lead heading this committee, and the co-lead in the beginning was the Department of Defense, but during the process, the Department of Defense recognized that there was no stake in it for the Department of Defense, and the co-leadership was then transferred to the Department of Health. That explained why the process took so long and is still taking long as for the time being. We have been informed that for the time being, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States has seen national security concerns by this transaction, and they may ask why that can be happened, that a German company, you know, is subject to such a regulatory approval requirement in the United States. But you will recall that we own 22 plasma collection centers, and those collection centers would then indirectly owned by a Chinese investors group, and that has triggered this procedure with CFIUS. CFIUS explained to us that they have problems to understand the situation of the plasma donation system, including the health checks and the data being asked by the donors and which have been stored for 30 years as it is required by the Federal Drug Administration, so another U.S. body who's requiring that. But nevertheless, CFIUS has some concerns with regard to data integrity and data safety. And on top of that, they would have, as they call it, classified information, which they are not allowed to share with us, which are also, for the time being, a reason for them not to give clearance for this procedure. Since the time period was running out, we agreed with CFIUS that we would withdraw our, together with Tiancheng, the acquiring company of the Chinese investors, that we both would withdraw the filing and would resubmit an application, making it possible to start the period in which CFIUS has to decide to start this period again. And this was done last week. We have announced that to the public last week, and we have also informed our employees in the same way yesterday morning, so that there is still a time of time of uncertainty, you know, if we are able to mitigate the safety concerns CFIUS has raised up to now. And for that reason, as I said, Bernhard Ehmer is on his way to Washington because we have a meeting with CFIUS during this week, and hope that we can discuss with them how we can, in the remaining time till end of January, really then mitigate their concerns with regard to security issues of the United States. But let me make it very clear, there's no assurance, no guarantee that we are able in the end to mitigate those concerns, and that we will find jointly a solution with CFIUS. Now, despite the efforts to solve the U.S. governmental issues here, we had, of course, being confronted with a very difficult situation. You all recall that in the beginning of this year, we had to recall human albumin, that we had also to, with regard to destroy some intermediates we had already produced, so that we are in the coming months not able to really have enough end product of human albumin to supply the markets. And this is mainly the reason why you see a reduction of our sales from 414 million in the first three quarters in 2016 to now 378 million in 2017. And almost all regions in the world had been concerned by this reduction in sales, with one exception. The rest of Europe means Europe without Germany, because we had, compared to last year, here higher plasma sales to customers in other European countries. Now, if we look at the EBIT, this is still, of course, affected by mainly the human albumin recall and the effects thereof. And you see that in the segment therapy, we have shown, or had to show, a loss of 26.7 million. And if you look into that, 29 million are related to the human albumin recall. We have 21 million as seen as credit notes issued to our customers who have returned already human albumin, or we have built a provision for such credit notes for a material which will be returned to Biotest. And as I said, we had to depreciate intermediates we had produced in an amount of roughly 8 million. So this explains the first negative impact on our results. We have then, as further components, costs of 41 million, or exactly 40.9 million, which we have spent for the Biotest Next Level project, build up, ramp up the production facility in Dreieich, but also to continue our research and development for the BNL products, which are IgG, next generation, IgM concentrate, and fibrinogen. And then on top of that, we had still some costs for continuing the ongoing clinical studies with monoclonal antibodies. All those costs and expenses amounted to 5.7 million. All those are the components leading to the loss of the minus 26.7 million in therapy. In Plasma Service, the business is positive and profitable, as you can see, with almost 20 million in 2017 compared to 26 million in the year before. This is a reduction because we had had not been able to sell so much toll manufacturing activities to the Middle East, but we may catch up here a little bit in the fourth quarter. You see a huge increase in the loss in the other segments segment, is minus 8.8 million compared to minus 1.2 in 2016. And the difference of 7 million is explained by our cost for the takeover. As you can imagine, due diligence, lawyers, attorneys, and the investment bank, which advises us, are the reasons for this increase by 7 million in this segment. So that all brings us to minus 15.7 million. And of course, we have also to add the plus 500,000 of the discontinued operations, so that Biotest Group has in the end achieved an EBIT of minus 15.2 million in the first 9 months of this year. If you look at our balance sheet, you can see there's a shift of from cash to fixed assets, because we had continued our ramp up, our build up of our facility in Dreieich. So that's the reason why you see this change between non-current assets and current assets. Equity ratio is still in the range of 35 million, so still a good sign. Also, the cash flow from operating activities had been positive with 4.4 million. It started with 29 million out of our activities of selling products. We had an increase in working capital, and of course we had to pay interest and taxes, so that we ended up with 4.4 million in the first 9 months of 2017. Now, you know that we have lowered our guidance by this human albumin recall effect between 25 and 30 million. In order to achieve still the guidance, we expect a strong fourth quarter of 2017. And just to remind you that last year in the fourth quarter, we have seen sales of 140 million and had an EBIT of 16.4 million. So here we are expecting that we have a similar business also, or even a stronger business in the fourth quarter. Stronger business because of one special opportunity which has opened up, which would give us a very attractive revenue way in the fourth quarter. And we are very close to conclude this deal within the next 2 weeks. And of course, we still need, as we have pointed out right from the beginning, a final settlement of the albumin recall case, meaning an agreement with the insurance company and a final settlement with all our partners returning products to us to see how many credit notes in the end we really have to issue. If you look at our R&D pipeline, I will concentrate today on those two products which are very essential for the success of the Biotest Next Level project. This is IgG Next Generation and Fibrinogen, and I concentrate on that because since our last meeting here in March, we have seen nice progress. IgG Next Generation, you know, it helps to cure patients with some dysfunctions or some deficiencies in their immune system, and we are in a phase 3 study in the United States, as in Europe, with primary immune deficiency. That means patients who have from birth on a disorder of their immune system. The recruitment of adults is completed, and we are about to integrate and recruit children in this phase 3 study, so that in the end we have full-fledged data set for the filing of the market authorization in the United States and in the United States for PID for adults as well as for children. The phase 3 study in ITP in Europe is also progressing well. Here the patients being included are progressing, and we think that we can final that till end of the year. With regard to fibrinogen, we have two kinds of patients we would like to treat with fibrinogen in the end. The first group are those children who have from birth, starting from birth, already a congenital fibrinogen deficiency. And here we have been allowed to combine phase 1 with a phase 3 study. This enrollment of children, the recruitment of children is ongoing. And as I said, it is considered as a phase 3 study, so as soon as we have concluded this study, we have also then all the data available for filing the label for congenital fibrinogen deficiency. With regard to the acquired fibrinogen deficiency, that's a deficiency of fibrinogen, which is a clotting, a special clotting factor, which occurs sometimes if you have a very intensive surgery, such as spine surgery. And here we are planning to start a phase 3 study in Europe. First sites are initiated. This study design was accepted by the authorities, and we are about to recruit the first patient, maybe still in November, and otherwise in December of this year. So also with regard to the second label, the second indication for acquired fibrin deficiencies, we are now in the status of starting the phase 3, the pivotal study for this product. Yeah, talking to the other aspect of our Biotech Next Level project, meaning the building, the new building of the facility. You all know that we have already taken into operation the plasma receiving area, the labs to where we all plasma donations are controlled and tested and analyzed. This is already working. Also, fill and pack has been expanded already and is in operations. So now we are on the upper right-hand side in the picture, this big plant with the two chimneys, the building with the three chimneys. On the left-hand side is the power plant to procure all media and steam and water and, of course, also power for the building at the right side, which is a facility to produce IgG next generation, IgM concentrate, and fibrinogen. Sorry. So, as you know, the main purpose of this Biotech Next Level, when why we call it Biotech Next Level project, is the fact that we have to fix a very structural problem we have, because up to now we are only able to produce three products out of 1 liter plasma. And you know, plasma is a very expensive raw material we need for our products. 60% of our production costs are driven by the raw material, by plasma prices. And as soon as you can get more products out of 1 liter plasma, then you are better off, of course. And most of our competitors, at least all the bigger ones and the more profitable ones, get more than three products out of 1 liter plasma. And this Biotech Next Level, we would like to add IgM concentrate and fibrinogen to the product range we would get out of 1 liter plasma. And you see the figures here. By doing that, the revenue generated out of 1 liter plasma would go up from 300 euro per liter plasma to 550 to 650 euro per liter if we sell all five products then produced in the new facility. Now, if you drive by in Dreieich and see the building from outside, you will think, oh, everything is fine because it looks so nice from the outside. It's not only ready from the outside, also the interior fitting work has been almost completed. Technical installations are already operating, and we are in the process of commissioning the equipment, the plant interior. We have done so successfully by putting the labs into operations, because of course the intermediates have to be tested, the end product has to be tested, and that will be done at the site in the same building in the laboratories we have built there. And you can see here that in June, July, and August we have moved the existing lab operations into the new building. The German authority, the Regierungspräsidium, has been inspecting it and has granted us the authority, the license to use this lab, so that the first part of this new building is already in operations. If you want to produce plasma proteins, you need, of course, plasma. And we are still about to increase our network of plasma collection centers. You may have seen our press release a couple of days ago about the new center in Hungary. We had opened already this year 3 new centers in Hungary. We acquired a company operating a plasma center in Prague, and after having acquired this company, we have given them the authority and the money to open up another center in the Czech Republic, so that for the time being we have 39 centers, 22 in the United States and 17 in Europe, and one more will be added still this year, so that in the end we will have then 40 plasma centers at the beginning of next year. And if you look into one of the new centers, you see it's a very modern and a stylish setting here. It's no longer remembering into a waiting area of a physician. So it's a very nice designed center, which helps also to attract, of course, donors into our centers and keeping them away from the centers of competitors. Let me summarize what we are doing right now. We expand our plasma collection network, as I mentioned. We concentrate on biotech's next level by broadening our product portfolio, doubling production capacity, producing with a higher yield in the end, and add 2 more products which we get out of 1 liter plasma. And in order to fill this plant, we have, of course, to continue with our clinical trials for the new Biotest Next Level products for IgG, next generation, fibrinogen, and IgM concentrate in order to have then, if the production facility is ready, also the license to produce those products. And by that, I would like to thank you for your attention, and I'm ready to answer your questions. Thanks a lot.
Do you have any questions? Maddie?
Yeah, thanks for the presentation. Maybe just briefly an update on the IgM concentrate. If I remember correctly, you wanted to start the phase 3 this year. And then, yeah, I missed the first 5 minutes of your presentation, so maybe you answered already all my questions on the takeover situation, so maybe you can repeat them. No, but seriously, maybe you can say something on the U.S. plasma centers, how a biotest group would look like without the U.S. Plasma collection centers. What would be the impact on your planning on biotech's next level? Is it easy to source the then missing plasma from other sources within the group, and yeah, everything else which would help a little bit to understand the U.S. situation and what CFIUS really is thinking about? Is it patient data? Is it the collection center in general? And everything you can say would help.
Okay, yes. With regard to the IgM concentrate, we are still in discussions with Paul Ehrlich Institute and the FDA about the study design. They had some questions back, and we are now working on answering those questions. So this year we are still in the discussion phase about the final design of the study with the authorities. With regard to...
So it will not start this year, but
no,
next year?
It won't start this year. With regard to the takeover procedure, as I said, we had been informed by CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, that they have safety concerns. The reason for that are their concerns about data integrity and data safety of the data we collect from our donors. We are obliged to collect from our donors because every donor gets a health check first, of course. And it's, of course, archived, the data, according to FDA rules and regulations, and not only FDA regulations, the same is true in Germany. So that's one reason they have given us, and then they have said to us that there are classified information they would have. Classified means they are a secret, they cannot share with us, so there are other reasons. We are about being still, of course, engaged in very intensive discussions with CFIUS. It took quite a while till they really was prepared to talk to us. because they have so many filings right now, more than in almost double as much as many as last year. So it took them quite a while. They had a change in the co-leadership of the committee. So really, it was in the last 3 weeks that we had been really able to really discuss the different issues with them. In order to prevent running out of the time period in which they have to decide, we had with their approval, we have withdrawn the application and we will refile it. And Bernhard Ehmer and others are right now in Washington in order to really explain the whole plasma collection business to the CFIUS people. And please keep in mind, the United States are currently exporting 19 million plasma to countries outside of the U.S., exporting 19 million. We are collecting between 800,000 and 900,000 liter plasma in our 22 centers, and all companies, all plasma collection companies, are required to collect those data and keep those data. So why is it such a problem for CFIUS to accept that we are operating on the same basis, on the same legal grounds as the others, and why is it really possible that we should change our business model? In your second question, you already assumed that the only solution would be that we would sell or get rid of the plasma collection centers. And of course, there's always a way to survive and to get plasma from other collection centers, but of course we have built up the network in the United States in order to secure our own supply, and this is still, you know, the aim of BioTest, but also that of CREAT, to really keep the basis for the plasma we need in the future, because the sources in Europe are limited. The United States are the biggest exporter of plasma to the world. I mentioned the numbers already. And you know also that some countries are only allowing the import of products if those products are manufactured out of U.S. plasma. Just mentioning albumin in China. China accepts only albumin, which is produced out of U.S. plasma. All those different components will be mentioned, of course, in the discussion with CFIUS, and we hope that we will find a solution without the drastic consequence you have just outlined, saying that we would have to divest, you know, the plasma centers in the United States.
Please.
Ich würde die Fragen gerne in Deutsch stellen.
Ja.
Ist das möglich? Zum Ergebnis, da erwarten wir ja im vierten Quartal möglicherweise noch eine starke Unterstützung. Könnten Sie vielleicht nochmal die Ziele von 2017 wiederholen? Dann ist dieser Effekt aus dem möglicherweise sehr attraktiven Geschäft ein Einmaleffekt, oder ist das ein Geschäft, was möglicherweise dann nächstes Jahr weiterläuft? Und wie hoch könnten denn die Versicherungsleistungen sein im Vergleich zu dem, was es gekostet hat, als Prozentsatz? Dann bei dem neuen Produkten für die Anlage. Könnten Sie da mal vielleicht kurz sagen, wann diese einzelnen klinischen Studien beendet sind, die zurzeit am Laufen sind? Und im Quartalsbericht habe ich gesehen, also zu BT62 und 63, sagen Sie, Sie sind jetzt in der Nachbeobachtungsphase. Da wir zumindest bei dem 62er in dem Krebsbereich sind, wissen Sie ja eigentlich permanent, was gelaufen ist. Wie sind denn da jetzt eigentlich die Ergebnisse ausgefallen? Sind die so ausgefallen, dass es keine Ad-Hoc-Meldung bedarf, also nicht besonders gut und nicht besonders schlecht? Vielleicht könnten Sie dazu auch noch etwas sagen.
Okay, may I repeat the questions for all those who follow our audio stream, you know, later on? So the first question was with regard to the result and what kind of settlement we expect with regard to human albumin cases. You may recall that we have said that in the end, the EBIT will be reduced between 25 to 30 million by this recall of human albumin. We are trying to reduce this number to 15 to 20 million in the end, including a settlement with the insurance company. so that we would be then reaching the guidance which we had issued then. And if you deduct the 25 to 30 million as announced reduction in the beginning, we would be then in the range of 16 to 25 million at the EBIT level at the year end. That was our guidance. The opportunity which I mentioned to which might be concluded will be probably not be, be cannot be repeated in the next year because it covers a longer time period, this transaction. So you cannot add that already or expect that this will reoccur then next year. The new products with regard to the phase 3 studies, the already started study, the PID study where all the adults have been recruited, those patients will be treated for 13 months, and then there will be an observation and the report has been written, so that we expect that the beginning of 2019, you know, the data or the study report is ready and be able to being submitted then to the authorities. The ITP study will take 6 months longer, so that it will be mid of 2019. And with regard to IgM concentrate, depends, of course, when we will start with the phase 3 study. BTO61 was a question, what is happening there? Yes, it is an indication of multiple myeloma. We have shown the data already in former analyst presentations, and what's going on is in the same range as what we have seen in the past, so no deviations, no better data in the last months, or no data which are less valuable than those we have shown. So that's the reason why you haven't seen any announcement there. We are continuing to treat the patients, and as you know, you have to treat them as long as there is an effect of the treatment with BTO62. At the same time, you know that we have said that we would only continue those activities as long as the clinical studies are running, and therefore we are actively looking for somebody who will partner those activities or will even take over those activities. Fibrinogen will be ready in the fourth quarter of next year. With regard to solid tumors, we have no further data for those patients. Yep.
Dann noch eine Frage. Nochmal zum leidigen Thema Cepheus. Diese Sachen, die beanstanden, die haben ja eigentlich gar nichts mit den Chinesen zu tun. Beanstanden die jetzt indirekt bei Ihnen oder bei den Chinesen, wenn die Chinesen übernommen haben? Also ich verstehe das gar nicht. Sind die mit ihrer Art der Datenaufnahme unzufrieden? Ich meine, was haben die Chinesen damit zu tun?
Good question. And if you would be able to explain all their thinkings and considerations of the US government, would be very interested to know those. It's, I think I have expressed it in a very polite way. Same level of not understanding their arguments as you have expressed it. Because as I said, you know, we are collecting data and archiving data in the same way as all the others are doing it. Unfortunately, we are probably the first one who are being reviewed by Cepheus in this regard. And they have, maybe one explanation may be that in the last 2 years there have been quite a lot of hacking attacks on hospitals and clinics in the United States, and a lot of patient data had been illegally, of course, published. And therefore they have turned a little bit more their attention to those data integrity issues with regard to personal, private health information, and that might have triggered, you know, their more detailed review of our processes. And unfortunately, we are then the first being dealt with within the Cepheus committee.
Sprechen die eigentlich eine Empfehlung aus oder können die den Deal platzen lassen?
Cepheus is not deciding on its own. They can clear the transaction, say everything is fine. If they keep continuing raising safety concerns, they have to elevate the decision to the President of the United States. And Mr. Trump has then 14 working days to decide on this issue. Mr. Volk, yeah.
In the U.S., if you would sell the plasma centers in the U.S., would you still need approval of the U.S. authorities? First question, and second, if this would be the remedy, would you at last solution sell the plasma centers in the U.S.?
So selling assets in the United States always triggers, you know, the necessity to file with the Committee on Foreign Investment if the buyer is a foreign entity, foreign person, or whatsoever. So the only remedy you may have in mind is to sell the plasma centers to a pure American institution, organization, company, individual. Otherwise, you're always back and have to explain the same transaction to the CFIUS.
Klaus Schlote von der Solventis. Sie, Dr. Ramos, Sie hatten gesprochen über diese Classified Information, die ja offensichtlich noch nicht bekannt ist, oder ist ja Geheiminformation, aber irgendwann muss sie ja mal aufgedeckt werden. Möglicherweise liegt es ja gar nicht an den Plasma-Centern, sondern an irgendwelchen anderen Dingen. Es gab ja eine Quelle, die sprach davon und wiederholt konnte man das dort lesen, dass es Probleme gibt mit den Eigentümern von CREAT bzw. den Hintermännern, dass die irgendwie für meine Interpretation in Ungnade gefallen sind in den USA. Hat mit ihrem Geschäft überhaupt nichts zu tun in dem Fall, also da können sie überhaupt nichts machen. Ich weiß nicht, ob jetzt der Dr. Emer ist ja, Sie sagen, ist ja heute oder reist dorthin, führt Gespräche. Und möglicherweise wird er ja dann dort eingeweiht in diese Geheiminformation. Und ich denke mal, bevor das nicht auf dem Tisch liegt, weiß man eh überhaupt nichts. Das andere ist ATMA. Wie sieht's da eigentlich aus? Das war ja, musste eigentlich auch negativ hier in Ihrem EBIT mit aufschlagen. Kurs von ATMA zumindest geht immer weiter runter. Und soweit ich weiß, steht da ja auch noch eine Kapitalerhöhung aus, für die Sie sich committed hatten. Größenordnung 15 Millionen Euro. Wie ist da der aktuelle Stand? Also was verlieren Sie bei ATMA pro Quartal und was muss noch darüber hinaus an Kapital eingeschossen werden? Steht da auch möglicherweise Veränderung an? Also, oder stehen Sie zu dem Investment? Oder gibt es da irgendwo auch mal eine, wo Sie sagen, also hier und jetzt nicht weiter? Grundsätzlich ist natürlich die Frage für Investoren, wie sieht der Plan B bei Ihnen aus? Also das eine ist ja, dass der CFIUS sagt, Deal geht nicht durch, aus den und den Gründen. Dann habe ich zwei Varianten. Einmal, ich kann die Gründe ändern, ich kann sie nicht ändern. Möglicherweise kann man dann ja neu Anlauf starten. Und das andere ist, der Bescheid von der CFIUS kommt zu spät, also nach dem 20. Januar nächsten Jahres. Und wie sieht es dann aus? Worauf müssen wir uns dann einstellen? Wird dann die CREAT 9 Anlauf starten, vorausgesetzt CFIUS, die CFIUS-Bedingungen sind zu erfüllen? Ja, also Biotest Standalone, ist das die Zukunft? Ich sag's mal so.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Schlute. Let me try to summarize. First, referred to the CFIUS process, and you mentioned that there might be some other reasons in the background which we not know yet, because they are called classified, they are secret, and before we can't get any clue about those classified information, we might not be able to solve the issue. Indeed, of course, you look at Ixtron, you know, Ixtron was about to be acquired by Chinese investors, and Mr. Barack Obama has forbidden this deal, and then they separated the U.S. U.S. assets in California, have found a South Korean buyer, and then CFIUS said yes to this transaction. So, to be honest, it's pure speculation, you know, what be on top of their data integrity concerns, which they have issued to us, which we don't understand, to be honest, you know, which other reasons there in the background, and maybe, you know, we will be a little be wiser within the next couple of weeks. And that also triggers, and that was your final question, you know, also the probably the decision of CREAT how to continue, because they are in the same dilemma as we are right now, trying to solve the issue as it has been presented to us by Sifios, and curing the or mitigating the concerns they have, and to check if there are other possibilities to solve the problem. And therefore, it's pure speculation what the CREAT investors would do if we would surpass the end of January deadline, where the offer collapses, as it is pointed out in the offer document. You were asking about Atma. You may recall that we have sold our US therapy business to Atma, and Atma is about to really fix the problems we had experienced in the production facility. They are in good progress of discussing with the FDA the lifting of the warning letter, in order to proceed then with the production of BBGAM as well as of their own RSV product. They, in order to ensure the further development, they have enlarged their financing 2 weeks ago. They have agreed for a bigger debt package on the one hand side, and as you correctly pointed out, they have in the meantime completed the capital increase. They have collected $42 million. We have contributed 12.5 million as we have agreed in advance to participate in this capital increase. They were able to collect more than the 25 they had originally in mind when we designed our idea to participate in this fundraising for developing their new product in the facility in Boca Raton. So yes, and as soon as the intention of raising capital was public, the share price went down, and we are pretty confident that with the progress they are making with regard to the FDA requirements, that then the share price will go on. So that's the reason why we stick to our engagement and our activities with APMA as a minority shareholder, but being still involved in that. You also recall that we have the license to sell the new product, you know, in Europe and Middle East. So there's also for us more to come in this whole game. Yeah.
Ich möchte auch nochmal nachhaken. Plan B, also Biotest Standalone. Was ändert sich dadurch für Sie? Also was sind die entscheidenden Parameter, auf die man da achten muss? Ich meine, wenn CREAT nicht mitmacht, ich denke mal, grundsätzlich ist es ja so, dass dann möglicherweise Märkte nicht so leicht zu erobern sind wie anderenfalls, sprich insbesondere der chinesische Markt, aber auch die finanzielle Seite des Unternehmens. Wie muss man das einschätzen? Ist es so, dass da, sagen wir perspektivisch, dass wir da in eine Lücke hineinlaufen, dass wir finanzielle Engpässe bekommen, die von CREAT dann nicht geschlossen werden, sondern die dann von anderen geschlossen werden müssen? Ist überhaupt grundsätzlich die Straße, die Route, die Firma nehmen wird, eine andere? Oder sagen wir mal, ist sowieso alles gleich und es ist nur ein anderer Finanzier im Hintergrund oder ein anderer Aktionär im Hintergrund?
No, the driving force, Mr. Schulte is again asking about what will happen if the takeover collapses and CREAT is no longer as potential new major shareholder on the horizon. I don't want to speculate what's going on here, but let me point out that the main driving force for CREAT to acquire Biotest was to build a huge player in this whole very interesting and still growing market of plasma proteins. And they have started by, you know, having a major stake in Shanghai RAAS in China. Then they bought 100% of BPL, the British plasma protein producer, and then their third portion in this picture was then the acquisition of Biotest AG, and it was not considered to immediately increase, you know, and open up new markets, because CREAT is not able to change Chinese laws. So right now we can only export to China albumin, as I said, and we would be able to export albumin to China as soon as we commission Biotest Next Level facility, because then we have the increased capacity to produce up to 72 tons of albumin coming out of US plasma. That was the idea, which then could be also sold to China. But we can do that even without CREAT. So that's what CREAT would help us in the future, would be a closer cooperation with regard to the development of new products. And I think we have also made it clear in the past that we as a small company are looking for partners in co-development of our new products. And of course, you know, the natural co-development partner for IgM and IgG next generation in different indications in different kinds of the world would be BPL. And that is, you know, what CREAT has in mind. Now, if we don't have CREAT as a new majority shareholder, then there's still, of course, a possibility to find contractual arrangement with BPL, with other smaller players in the universe, in order to develop those new products or to re-enter with the products in the United States after having sold the Bivigam business to ATMA. We have no longer a sales force, no longer activities in the therapy business in the United States. Here, this active role we have seen, of course, with BPL under the shareholding of CREAT. If CREAT would not be a shareholder of Biotest, we still have the opportunity to do this with BPL or with others. You recall that we had already an agreement in place with Catrion before we then signed the ATMA transaction. So there are still the same ideas and still the same roots as we had them before when we introduced and developed the Biotest Next Level situation and launched this project, and we will continue to do that. What will probably not happen, of course, that we would immediately start with new developments. You know, as I mentioned to you, that other big companies have even more than 5 products out of 1 liter plasma. So there have been and there are ideas to continue further products out of 1 liter plasma, and CREAT indicated to us that they would make it possible for us to start such investments and start such developments. Such investments we would not pursue then in short-term time because, you pointed out correctly, you know, we have to repay 100 million of promissory note, debt notes, Schuldscheine in October of next year. And, of course, we have under those new circumstances of having not CREAT, you know, in as a major shareholder there, if that would be the outcome, then we would have to discuss that with our banks.
Markus Wiebrecht, Mein First Bank. Two questions. One you more or less answered, which was also relating to the classified information you received from the CFIUS. And I was wondering, how do you actually, you know, prepare intended refiling without knowing what actually the issue was? So my understanding is you simply have to wait until you know and have more clarity here before you can proceed in that process. And secondly, if you would, you know, exclude all the one-offs, albumin, investment banks, what would be the underlying profitability in the first 9 months? Is it 5%-ish EBIT margin-wise, more or less?
It seems to me that you have done the calculation already, yes. It would be 5%.
Thank you.
Do we have any more questions?
Anke, when would be the last refiling date in order to remain in the takeover time frame? And then maybe secondly, you touched it briefly, just a short update on your maturity profile and any important covenants would be helpful as well.
Sorry, what was it last?
Debt maturity profile and covenants.
Okay. The longest defined time period for CFIUS to decide, plus the 14 working days of the president, would bring us already beyond the end of January deadline, as we have pointed out. That was the reason I have also expressed in our ad hoc announcement that we have refiled with the request to get an expedited procedure, and also CFIUS agreed to that. They not officially agreed to that, but they expressed their willingness because, you know, it's not a new filing as such. We are, of course, using the already happened exchange with CFIUS and the data exchange with CFIUS to continue that. And CFIUS expressed their willingness not to go to the latest date they have been able to go to, but to expedite their decision. So refiling has started with the request, you know, to get an expedited decision. And that's the reason, you know, that we are having immediately arranged for this meeting with CFIUS in person to discuss the next steps and the mitigation procedures, which bring us then to an expedited clearance of CFIUS within the deadline of the offer document. With regards to financing, for the time being, we have all credit agreements in place, and there are no covenants in those credit lines. So we are still in a very comfortable situation that we have just to start to negotiate with our banks the refinancing of our repayment necessities of next year, which is to some extent the KfW loans, where we have to start the repayment, and the biggest chunk is the 100 million euro repayment of the promissory notes of the Schuldscheine, October, as I mentioned.
Any other questions? No, I don't think so. So with this, I would like to thank you. We would like to thank you for your questions and your interest in BioTest, and we would like to invite you for a light lunch outside. Thank you very much, and have a good day.